I haven't turned on my ear mic as yet. There's some things I want to mention to the men that come up here. This, when you pray, changes how we hear you. Because when it's up like this and you look down, we don't hear. And so I miss some things. I want you men to recognize that the microphone needs, this is a directional mic. It comes directly from you, does not pick up other verses, and so is mine. And so consequently, you need to speak into it. Please. Please, for my sake. Now. Okay, very good. So, all right. By the way, I want to amen your thoughts. That if we need to pray for somebody, that this is the place to bring it to. And that amen to that. And may we do that and do more of that so that we help the world. That's part of what we do. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a new day. I'm going to begin in Genesis, the 9th chapter, beginning in the 1st verse. And this is a place that you already know about. This is Noah after he has come off the ark and after he's been there. And so this is just a comment that's being made. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky, with everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. And in your hand they are given. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. And I give all to you as I gave the green plant. Only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, blood. Surely I will require your life blood, and from every beast I will require it, and from every man and every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. And for in the image of God he made man, and as for you, be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it." So, for me, I'm taking this out of the comments made, but I want to take the story. Okay, so you were told over 100 years ago, there's going to be a flood. And I want you to build an ark. I want you to build a boat. And it doesn't really make too much difference whether you think you're a boat builder or you don't. God said, build a boat. Now it's time for you to go build a boat. Now, if you need to learn how to build a boat, you're going to learn how to build a boat. You're going to ask God, what do you want me to do and how am I supposed to do it? And you may get those instructions, or maybe you have to just be sure, because if I'm going to build a boat, and I hope that you feel, I want my boat to float. I really want my boat to float. So, when he does that, and he's told how long, and all the stuff that we know about from the 6th chapter, he does those things, he does everything God told him to do, and it takes him a long time, and he is also preaching the whole time, there's a flood coming, repent of your sin, and he gets nothing. Now you understand that Noah is the worst preacher on the earth in history. He is. And Jonah, who's got the worst attitude, is the best, who convinces a whole town with the shortest sermon you've ever heard. Okay, but anyway, that's not the point. We have this. Now you've done it. All the animals loaded up. You spent a year on the water, and now you're coming out. You're coming out. I'm on dry land again. I see dry land first. Now I'm actually on dry land again. What would you do? What's the very first thing that I want to do? I know people that fly that kiss the ground when they come back, when they get back on the ground. Okay? And so what he does, as we know, that you've seen all the wicked destroyed by power that is unimaginable. You never even dreamed that this kind of water could happen. That you spent time this year in the ark, and that you've lived there and you had things to do and you were busy, but there is no idea that you're living except by the hand of God. Okay, the land is dried and it's time to leave. You're alive and it's been spoken. And now he just made a covenant with you. And what do? You sacrifice to God is what you do. You bow that knee and you thank him for your life, because your life, along with everyone else, was in his hand. And he decided to preserve you because you believe. He sacrificed. In Genesis, the 8th chapter, verse 20, and Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. And the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on the account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. Does God stand against sin? I mean, here's a real story, and of course we know that he does. It is in the sense that the worship being as genuine as it was, and I think that I understand what that genuineness is, the love of life, the love of being back, and that we are not going to be tempted by evil anymore. There's no evil on the earth, there's just my own family. Now, that may not be exactly the way it's going to work, but that's what we're thinking. That we have righteous people that were saved that are here, and that it's going to be a good life now, and that we're not going to be opposed about God and some of those things. And so the Lord smells the soothing aroma of worship. And of course you recognize that's what we're here to do. To offer God the soothing aroma of worship. If you were the last family, or the first family in this case, we're the only family, and so we were the last and now we're the first and some of those kinds of things, would you be thankful? Would you be thankful for your life and for position and for whatever it is? This is no longer about who is in charge. This is not about any of those kinds of things. All the machinations of men, all of the stuff that we have where power has been sought and people would do whatever it was, and even the things we talked about in morning class, all this hubbub over what I want is gone, and now it's just you, me, and God. Wow. Think of the silence, maybe. And so hold that thought. Now I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. And I want you to consider the idea of what it means to have God say that you are blessed in the work that he has given us to do. I want you to consider that idea with me. And so in Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 10, then it shall come about that when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns that you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. So, if we are blessed, we're to remember the blessings. That we were in one place, and now look at where we are, and we should be thankful for that. But I want you to consider the bush that this is coming out of, okay? This is the bush that is on fire, but it is not being consumed. And that's not how fire works. And so we understand that. This is a miracle of sorts. And so if bushes could talk, do you think the bush from which Moses heard what he had to do has anything to do with the bush? You're right. Nobody thinks like I do. Has the bush got anything to do with anything, okay? Do you think the bush might have said, look at me, the God of heaven has chosen me above all other bushes to burn and not be consumed? I'm good. He chose to speak from me, through me. Surely I must have fine qualities. Am I not a notch higher than all other bushes? Or we could prove it the other way, that God can manifest himself through any old bush like this one. Okay, and so the bush isn't special. God is. Consider the businessman who thinks that he is self-made. He was taught in school that he didn't found. He lives in a democracy he didn't set up. Is part of a free enterprise system he didn't establish. Drives cars he didn't make on roads he didn't build. Uses phones he doesn't understand. Sends mail he doesn't deliver. Flies planes he can't pilot. And is enabled to succeed by banks, employees, and public, and the public. And he says, I'm a self-made man. Doesn't that sound kind of ridiculous? I'm a self-made man. Well, I took that to the farmer. It's kind of the same way, only I don't think it works this way with farmers very much. That he learned farming from those he didn't teach. Okay, so sow seed he didn't make, depends on sunshine, rain, and good land, which he didn't create, feeds the land minerals he didn't manufacture, sells his produce to the public, and he's self-made. And yet a farmer almost always knows it is by the hand of God that I have success, because I have control of so very little. I bring that to you because I'm not really talking about either one of those. I am talking about the situation. But think about the self-made Israelite, who I am more than other men because of the group that I'm associated with. I am more than that. I am a disciple of Christ. I am a preacher. I am the church. I am in the right place, and I am valuable, and I am. And then we remember that, you know, God could have used any old bush. So, there is a sense in which I want us to consider ourselves in a day when it looks like things are not going the way we want them to be, and those types of things, that we come out of our homes every day, just like Noah would, okay, and then I want to ask the question, what are you able to do? What are we able to do? In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and we're going to begin in verse 7. We are reminded, as 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. And we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. And so, what were we made for? And there's some things. What does the earthen vessel actually mean? It's not a vessel, the vessel, but the assignment given to the vessel that makes it important. That we are the power of God by the declaration of His Word. By the things that we say, by the things that we do, by the examples that we leave. We are the message. And so, Romans 1:16, which we started this morning with, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, or for its power, it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. We declare God because we hold the gospel as something to to be held to. And our very example declares God. So that our lives are the proof of the power of God, and we are His new way, new day. Just like Noah. New way, new day. We have believed, therefore we live by faith, which shows itself in the good works. Now, I'm really, as we talked about belief this morning, is belief simply conforming to what you've been told to do? Is that really belief, or is belief in the source of who told you to do it? Those kinds of things. This one is very similar to it in the fact that we do things, okay, and that we're going to do them because God declared them right. I'm going to want to please Him, therefore I'm going to do what is right, regardless of affliction. Can you oppose me and say, I don't think that's right? Yes. Can the world do that? Yes. Can I be persecuted along those lines because of it? Yes. Will I stop saying it? Not while I believe it. I will continue to say what I believe God said. Now then, do you understand? It is not what I said so much and the truth that God has given. It is. It's always the truth God has given. But my stance for it declares something itself. That's the point. Based on our belief, we may be crushed or perplexed or persecuted, but we're never despairing and we're never struck down and never forsaken, nor are we destroyed. And what does that mean? It means that regardless of what happens externally, internally, I hold fast. That. Now then, who doesn't want that? In my mind, one of the great benefits it's an extra, okay, is the fact that no matter if I die, I live. I've already won if I will just be what God would have me be. And so that Jesus may be manifested, declared to be right, regardless of circumstances, is who we are. That's what it's really all about. And that we are going to be involved with, not just involved. I'm going to be a proponent of that, and I'm going to be a proponent in my way. Whether I'm a quiet person or an extrovert, it doesn't matter the manner. It is that my declaration is firm. So that our stance then is to be solidly in Christ. So if I'm going to be in Christ, I'm challenging what that means. Am I solidly in Christ if I fear what's in front of me? Do I think that Jesus is praying maybe the most sincere prayer that's ever been prayed in the garden before the day He is going to be taken? That's a very serious prayer. Sweat that is as drops of blood. That's that thick and that is that intense and that kind of a moment. Is there fear in that? I think there is. I have fear. Can I deal with the fear? Well, as far as the fact that fear will come, I don't think I can deal with fear that comes. It's coming. It will come. I'm going to have fear. But will I do what God told me to do in spite of fear is another question. Have I committed my mind to the idea that regardless of fear, I will, see, that's the thing, I will do what the Lord says? Would you change your conduct for God? If you knew that what you're doing is not what you should be doing, would you change your conduct for God? And there are many. I think that's what we're really seeing today and why, quote, the unchurched don't want organized religion anymore, is that men who declare themselves to be Christian are not willing to change poor conduct. I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to have my independence. I'm still going to be the Daryl that you always knew. No, I am a transformed man. I am not going to be the man I've always been. I will change my conduct. Do I need to change my speech? Maybe I'm going to need to change my speech. Does that mean that my faith changes? I think it matures, and so yes, I think that my faith changes into a more dedicated person, more dedicated way, because now I see the new day each day. Another day to prove I believe. Another day that God can know I'm His. Another day that I know He's mine. Another day that's been given to me. Because I was on the ark and I could have been in the water. I saw them. I saw all my enemies die. I saw all of everything die. I saw something that is scary. And now I don't want to die, not that way. I want to die in Christ. And so, our coming out of our homes then will be something like coming out of the ark. If I look at it and make the comparison, we have been kept in circumstances that are beyond our control. There's much that I have no control over, and I understand that. It is not about me having that kind of control. What happens today is not caused by God, but is the result of God's creation. It's a new day. And we will come out with an invigorated message of how good God is. We'll come out with how hard today may be. Because persecution could be just outside my door. Yes. Will I not come out? Or will I come? Will we complain of the loss of things that don't matter? I've been that person. Who am I going to be when I come out tomorrow, on my new day? I know that we'll come out declaring God's loving kindness. And will we become critics of the political scene, complainers and slanderers, selfish and ugly, or shall we defend those who chose what they thought was right? Will we be encouragers for the future, declaring that God has made our future bright, no matter the circumstance of this life? Do I hold that viewpoint? Today may bring a change that you haven't considered. And what would you do with the challenge? Will I face it? Or will I shrink back? Is it a can-do thing or I can't? I want to consider Moses again. If God is behind the challenge, you're going to face it or you're going to end up in the wilderness. I mean, that's really the bottom line of the whole thing. You're going to face it or you're going to end up in the wilderness. Maybe this is a time to worship in a deeper fashion. And what I mean by that is that when we come, and we use a phrase that we use quite often of you know, especially around the Lord's table, let me clear all thoughts. Dave used it this morning. Let's clear our secular thinking from this place. Let us go back to that time and that place and remember what Jesus did. But it didn't stop with just that action. It moved. It moved through the society. It moved through the world. And that it moved with power. Okay? And what caused that? Well, it isn't the 12. Yes, the 12 are involved in that. They are the original teachers. But you don't teach millions of people with 12 men. What you teach is men to teach other men. And then it goes like wildfire. And that means that those that heard spoke again. Those who lived changed their lives and became recognizably different. Those who came out of where they had been came out and became new people. Does a man who has been healed from that he's unable to walk, and he's told to rise and walk. Does he not walk now that he can? Of course not. He goes around and declares the one who saved him and raised him. That's what we do. And so you see what I'm talking about. Where does my faith, where is it going to lead me that I may say and do the things that need to be done for God, to declare him? And so, is it in my worship? And you know, worship isn't just when we come together. Worship is every day. Do I actually take the time to stop and consider God? Or have you been multitasking like I have done so many times that I'll do some praying while I'm driving in the car because I can, there's no one there but me, and I can talk to God while I'm doing something else, and I never felt satisfied. Because it was duplicity that I'm offering. No, when I stop and pray. Do you sing? Do you sing the praises of God in a place other than here? I remember my mother standing at the clothesline back when there were clotheslines, and she was singing gospel songs all the time. As a matter of fact, you'd think that she didn't know anything but gospel songs. And that somebody else hanging clothes would join her in the neighborhood. Those days are long gone. Shall we let what's happened in the country keep us from declaring God? Or shall we declare him? And it doesn't have to be an in-your-face thing. It can just be. And so it could be that that's what's going on, all right, and that I need to worship in a deeper fashion. Maybe we need to leave more time for God in his word. And in this case, I'm not really talking about Bible study so much as that I have a point to make, that I'm trying to point to prove or something that way, but just the contemplation of what I know and my life. That's where the transitions come. Is from the contemplation of what we know and my life. Or maybe we will go out and check on those that we haven't been checking on. Maybe it's that I need to go and help someone else because I know there are people who have needs that are greater than mine. Maybe I should be doing something that way. What more can I do now that I'm free to choose? You see? Does it have to take all day? No. What I am sure of is that this is a time, this is a day that Christians need to give the message because the world is crying for it. It needs us to speak. So have you determined to become a Christian? And if you have, okay, that's a good thing. If you haven't, it's time to make the decision that needs to be made so that you can become what you want to be. And you will do all of that with God's help. And for us that we, if we have slipped, if we've gone down a couple of steps instead of upward, maybe now is the time to start climbing again. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?